Chaotic lesbians, and welcome back to Lesbians Are Brutal, a Queer Ultimatum Recap podcast. My name is Kara.
My name is May. Oh my gosh, it's Ultimatum Day!
It's Ultimatum Day!
And I'm so nervous.
We've reached the last, I guess, narrative episode of this season. Very exciting. We had to get out the last, like, 5 episodes before I go home.
Yeah, she's abandoning me.
Lock in. I'm going home to lock
She's
in and
war,
study
actually.
For the bar.
And I'm also going to war because I'm packing up the apartment to move. Yeah. We're going to war. We're both going to war.
We're both separately locking in. We're going to our trial marriages.
Our trial marriages with the grind.
My trial marriage with Themis.
Yeah, and my trial marriage with moving. I don't know. I couldn't think of anything.
You couldn't think of like a little cute name.
I couldn't think of a little cute name for moving. It sucks so bad, but we brave.
Yeah, we're trying our best. We're really trying our best. Anyways, before we get into it, because I know everybody's dying to see which one of these couples make bad decisions.
Ooh,
spoilers,
yeah,
it's most
it's
of them.
It's gonna be bad decision city.
Well, May, what is your ultimatum of the week?
I forgot mine. What's
yours?
No.
My ultimatum of the week is to the weather, and it it rained the perfect amount today, where it was thunderstorming for about maybe like 2 hours, maybe an hour and a half.
And we were inside while that happened, so
and
it was perfect.
And we were inside. I think that's the most it should rain in a day.
Yeah, 2 hours is max.
2 hours max, as heavy as possible. Or overnight, as heavy as possible, so you could hear the thunder and you feel all cozy. Because listen, like, does it kind of suck to be out and you're unlucky and you're caught in the storm?
Yes.
That's happened to me before.
You got to pay
your
dues,
happened to both of us before.
Yeah, we were together.
At the same time.
We love each other. We were together.
But I think that is still better than the alternative for rain, which is that it rains nonstop. So every single second you spend outside is, like, technically you can be out there,
but
it's
just
really
awful.
Inconvenient. And I think that I prefer the dramatic rain. So that is my ultimatum. No more full days of rain. Only crazy thunderstorms for 2 hours.
While I'm inside.
I'll take the risk. I understand all of society would have to bear that risk.
Yeah,
of
you
being
have to take turns
in these
with
thunderstorms.
The risk.
If the rain is... If we have to... That's the exchange that we get.
This is what we owe.
For no, like, consistent rainy days where it's just rain nonstop. Is that if you are outside and it does happen to rain, it's going to be really bad for you for a couple minutes.
My ultimatum I forgot about is for Kara, which is to stop calling me limp-wristed. And I'm not using that as a euphemism. She keeps calling me limp-wristed.
You're very limp-wristed.
Okay.
I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes the audio quality will go like this.
You're putting me on blast on the
I'm putting
pod?
You on blast, and I'll reach over because she'll, like, drop the microphone, and I'll reach over, and I'll bring it back up to her mouth so she can speak to
You're
it.
So... Wow, that's crazy.
You're very limp-wristed.
I don't think I am. I think my wrists are
we
normal.
We were walking, and it was
we're
still
walking
kind of raining.
In a drizzle.
We were walking home from dinner.
We have one umbrella.
Held close. We're holding the umbrella.
No one's...
Suddenly the umbrella starts to tip forward because May's wrist is not firm enough.
Sorry. I would like to adjudicate this a little bit further.
Okay.
One of us, me, is holding a purse, the umbrella, and the bag from the restaurant. One of us, Kara, is holding nothing.
I'm holding you close to me to make sure that there is full coverage for both of us under a broken umbrella.
You want to buy a new... You got new umbrella money?
No.
Exactly.
Not at the moment. I can't be employed until I pass the bar. Well, not... I technically don't have to pass, but I won't be employed
until after.
I won't tell you where I'm employed.
I'm saying is that maybe I'm not limp-wristed. Maybe I'm juggling a lot. You ever think of that?
Okay, but you walk like that when you're not holding anything. And you literally said,
shit,
is it
I
because
forgot.
I have autistic T-Rex hands?
Yeah, well, I do have those.
It could be
because... That's not limp-wristed, then. It's T-Rex hands.
But that's still limp-wristed. It's just in a neurodivergent way instead of in a gay way.
You're saying I'm not gay? I'm only autistic?
Well, no. I'm just saying that, like...
I'm going to bully her about this.
Oh, no. I'm just saying that, like, one of these things can be causing the limp wrist. But your wrists are very limp.
When our podcast takes off, I'll buy us each our own individual umbrellas, and then we won't have to talk about whose wrists are limp anymore.
We're gonna have to get t-shirts, and yours is gonna say limp wrist, and mine is gonna say doesn't know what colors are.
I don't want a shirt that says that.
Why?
I would get so canceled.
Why would you get canceled?
It says limp wrist.
You're gay.
Yeah, but people maybe don't know that. I won't wear a shirt that says limp wristed.
Okay.
I just don't think it would look cute either. I'm going to wear a shirt that says, where is the lesbian bar when we go to Amsterdam?
Var is the lesbian bar. Yeah, that's, anyways, so that's our ultimatum.
My ultimatum is to stop that. I think it's pretty funny. I just don't think I have a good comeback for it.
Because it's correct.
Yeah, but I'm working on it. Okay.
You're literally doing the thing right now.
Hang on. I am not. I would like the record to show that
were.
I am not.
You had shifted the mic so it was facing away from you and you were holding it.
I would like
it.
The record to show that I was not. And if you can hear a difference, shut up.
She absolutely was. God. She absolutely was doing it just as she tried to deny it. Just as she tried to deny it.
Are you happy with your victory, counselor?
Yes, I'm very happy. Very okay, pleased. Cool. Ultimatum
Guys,
day.
Guys, it's ultimatum day. I'm really excited. It's so much. This is going to be a good one. Okay. So, it's ultimatum day. That's what the title card says. That's what I wrote down. It's ultimatum day. We get a little... Unfortunately, we get more Joanna Garcia Swisher.
Explaining the rules for the millionth fucking time.
She's wearing this bedazzled, crazy cocktail dress. And she's, like, standing on a beach talking... As though she's giving like a little cult speech. Like she's giving a little speech
it
about like.
It is a cult speech. But like, why would you want to be in a cult when some straight lady is in charge of the cult?
Yeah, the only cult leader should be men. That's what my cult leader told me.
What?
I'm kidding.
Women, you guys can run a cult too.
Women should run cults, actually.
I'd follow Britney's. If Britney went full MLM and started a cult, I would probably fall for it.
Because it would be good. You know, it'd be like pretty fun.
It would be pretty fun. Britney's great in this episode.
Cult retreats would be awesome. So Joanna Garcia Swisher is giving this speech about, like, all these people, and they've come together, and there's love, and there's blah, 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 and there's blah. What's gonna happen? We see Pilar and Haley waking up in their separate bedrooms. So here's my theory about the bedrooms and the houses.
Yes.
The ultimatum givers get an apartment. The ultimatum receivers have to move. Because I was like, why are some of these people in hotels, and some of them are still in the little adult dorms? And then what I put together is that the givers are in the apartments and the receivers are in the dorms because the receivers had to move basically back in. So
yeah.
We see Haley.
But then I guess they would have gone into their apartments and then they would have put in the like little puzzles and stuff that they get.
Yeah. Like the producer.
So they're not moving into a fresh new place.
No. That's what I'm saying. Like the givers got to spend 6 weeks in a little apartment that they could kind of set up themselves and it was like their business and the receivers had to move. So like Haley's apartment, Megan lived there and then Megan moved out and Pilar moved in for the trial marriage. But that was still Haley's apartment the whole time.
Oh my God, wait.
Yeah.
So Pilar was sleeping in the same bed where...
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Well, and Megan was sleeping in the same bed where Dana... So,
yep.
Haley, Haley's waking up in the apartment, Pilar's waking up in the hotel, and we wrote down that they
have the same matching PJ sets as
we're
us.
Wearing them.
We'll post the video. I'm wearing the set that Pilar has. May is wearing the
set. Wow, you think all Arab women look the same?
No!
You think all Lebanese women look the same? That's so crazy because I have a low pony, which is the opposite of a high bun.
I will have apology with tears on my TikTok.
What's up, YouTube?
What's up, YouTube? I said all Lebanese lesbians look the same.
Yeah, that
when
was
that
crazy.
Isn't true, you would never do your hair like that, baby.
Yeah, I can't get it all the way up there. That seems hard. But yeah, we're wearing the same jammies as them, so we put them on to record this, and also because we wanted to put on jammies.
Yeah.
So... Everyone is packing. We get a couple quick shots of everybody packing stuff up. Everyone is crying. Everyone's journaling. Everyone's doing their makeup.
The journaling is hilarious. It reminds me of like that video about that guy who would get up every day at 3 a.m. and then he wants to seem deep. So
the Saratoga Springs face wash guy?
Saratoga Springs face wash guy.
Yes.
So he like opens up a journal,
bro,
and he starts writing in it.
Bro, you gotta get 10,000.
Bro, you gotta get to 10,000, bro.
Bro, you gotta get to 10,000.
Literally us making this podcast. But he clearly opens up this journal, which is supposedly a crucial part of his morning routine, to the first page.
Yeah, literally.
To the first page of a fresh journal, straight off the shelves of a Staples. That's how it feels to see some of these people journaling. I'm like, I know you guys, you're not like a journaling, like, do you think Ashley's a journaling person? Well, she wrote that whole thing. I think she was writing that letter, but.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think a lot of these people are journalers.
I don't know. I mean, she is a Virgo, so who knows?
Touche. So, Haley and Pilar is the title card that we see, and then we see Haley journaling and talking about the journaling and
Haley's
what she's writing.
Haley's a journaler.
Her
for
handwriting
sure.
looked amazing. Her handwriting was so beautiful. It looked like she was using pen, and it was just like really nice handwriting, and the confidence to write nicely with pen is very impressive to me. Mm-hmm. She was talking about how she's worried about falling in love with someone else. Then she's doing her makeup. And then we're getting the Haley and Megan story.
They get this out of the way fast.
Flashback.
They don't
flashback.
Even make us wait because I think they wanted to order the couples.
Yeah, in a way that would make us feel good.
In a way where it's like most happy for them to get married to least happy for them to get married.
Yeah, so we are seeing this flashback that the show has put together for us to tell us about what happened with Haley and Megan. And it's in grayscale and it looks like Megan died. It looks like this is an in memoriam because we see the
is
I
that
love
why
yous.
I said Megan with Dana equals death,
like it literally looks like Megan is dead.
They
so
should I wish they got the edits to like a better song, like the rights to a better song
than
for
just
this
like
edit.
Kind of awkward little
also
music.
TikTok, where are the edits of these two together? Like,
ooh.
I was seeing like what's his face snake guy and Leah from Love Island edits, and I don't even watch Love Island.
I think
like
the
that
editors, I don't know, I think the gay editors are making edits of, like, two male characters from SVU or something.
The fans of this like, show are too busy accusing Haley of being the villain all along and remarking on the quote-unquote growth that Dana had at the reunion.
The fans of this show don't know how to use CapCut. And you know
to
what?
To be fair,
yeah,
I don't know how to use CapCut.
That's what I'm saying. I'm a fan of the show. I can't use CapCut.
I think somebody in the read through for the project I'm doing last night mentioned that they tried to use CapCut on something and they were like, it's don't do it. It's
wait,
bad.
The funniest thing ever. Okay, so my baby sister recently graduated from high school.
Yay!
Big deal. And at her high school graduation, I'm sitting in this like high school in this auditorium, like waiting for graduation to start. And we're sitting behind another family. Obviously, it's all families. And this maybe 10-year-old kid was on his iPad and he was making a CapCut edit. Oh, God, I wish I could remember who it was of. But he was kind of cooking. Like, he was making, like, a really good
it's
edit.
It's all children in school because who has the time to do this? I'm trying to think of the best edits I've ever seen.
I really want to throw a party that's edit movie night where we ooh hook our phones up to the TV and show all the best edits that we have saved because I have a lot.
I know there's so many Just a Man edits to Baldur's Gate 3.
Ooh, that's good.
My mutual Bryn did a video, a really good Shadow Zell edit to a Maroon 5 song, and I'm like, I think this is the first time this Maroon 5 song has sounded good.
The Manchild edits for Sex and the City Men
for
are
Sex
great.
And the City Men for Vanderpump Rules Men, and I think one of my favorite ones has to be Money from Cabaret, used in the TV series Arcane.
Yeah, there's
that
great
was a good
edits
edit
out there.
There's great edits.
This is not a great edit. The Haley and Megan in memoriam. So then Haley gets into the Black Escalade. I wonder if they only rented one and they filmed these all on separate days, or if they rented a fleet of Black Escalades because everyone's going to be driving around Florida in the Escalades. And
I'm
then they like
sure they did it on separate days or like separate shifts during the day.
They escalade to the Everglades. They're driving them out to like random places. I'm getting ahead of myself. Haley gets in the car. She looks fucking hot.
She looks
her
great.
Dress. I'm going to do a whole ranking on the Instagram of like the outfits and how people look, but Haley is wearing a white, like a it's like a bodycon white dress. It is like above the knee, strapless, kind of. It's basically just a tube dress, and then her hair is like that half up, half down she's been doing the whole season, and she looks like
the most perfect, beautiful version of herself. She looks amazing. She's getting ready to confront Megan. And yeah.
It's her revenge dress.
She's revenge dressing. So the car drives up. We see Megan on a bench. Okay. So Megan. I'm just so excited. Okay. So
Megan finally has unlocked a new hairstyle, which is actually good.
Which is good. So
which is good.
The outfit is pretty boring. She's wearing a maroon suit and like a white, almost quilted top. I'm sure
white,
she's sweating.
Like textured tee. It looks like good.
It's
like,
it's a solid outfit. She's wearing her hair in a ponytail.
A high ponytail.
It's so good. Like, you can see her face better. You can focus on her jawline. The ponytail looks nice on her. She has...
It's crazy. It's like, nothing did nothing else to her hair.
Literally, the face
didn't
is the same.
Get a haircut. Her hair also is like... I can't really speak on this because I don't know that much about hair. But I've been informed by several people that it's... very good quality hair.
She has very thick hair. So she has, you can still see where she has that undercut. But the ponytail itself is quite thick, despite having shaved off quite a lot of the weight of her hair. She has great hair. She looks awesome.
It's literally just like the smallest change. It is just having her hair up in a different way.
Like if I, her face looks totally different to me. Like it really opens up her face. If I was Haley, I don't know if I would have been strong enough to do what she's about to do. So Haley,
I mean, I think Megan was never Haley's first choice. This is an unpopular opinion because they really like edit the fuck out of making you fall in love with Megan and Haley as a couple.
Know, like, if Haley can say no to Megan looking this good, maybe she never loved her in the first place.
I mean, I don't think she really did. I think it was like. From Haley's forced
proximity
perspective, it was she's dating somebody else for the very first time who seemingly has similar struggles to Pilar and is willing to do more to work through them at the time. I mean, obviously, Pilar later kind of comes around to realizing I love you and my concerns about my family are making me neglect you.
Yep.
And that's why Megan, like, Haley felt the way she did to Megan, and Megan... finally was hanging out with, like, a nice, normal person. And that's why Megan felt so strongly about Haley. I think they edited it to make it seem like, oh, yeah, these two are soulmates. And I think in another universe, they could have dated, would have worked out.
But here we are.
I don't think that there is there's just never, ever, really, there on both of the seasons, the closest that we come to anybody actually going home with their trial partner.
Xander and Yoli.
Yep. And I think Yoli said on a podcast, she was like, because, you know, now all the Queer Ultimatum Season 1 girlies are
revisionist history.
Yeah. I guess. Some of them are. Some of them are. Well, actually, fun fact, Ray, who I think was the TikTok breakout of last season.
Yeah, Ray turned out to be pretty popular on TikTok.
Because she was funny. Where was this in the show? Don't know. But she was really funny on TikTok. She released a video which united all of the cast members. Almost all of them. I think the ones missing were Aussie, Xander, Mildred for obvious reasons, Mel and Marie. Oh, and Lexi for obvious reasons, because Lexi was Ray's ex and they didn't end on the best of terms. But it showed a bunch of them taking stuff out of their fridge. I thought some highlights of this were both Ashley and Marita took out flowers.
That was funny.
Pilar took out
A CD case that said the receipts.
A CD case that said the receipts. Tiff, friend of the pod at this point for their behind the scenes information.
Thank you for your information, Tiff.
Took out a giant bag of dog food, referencing the dog. Bridget took out an opaque wine cup that
said,
she stole.
I would have done that.
Set.
That would be.
May
would
have. I literally saw that and I was like, oh my god, May would have done that. She
would
have run to our apartment, like, tee, I took this from the set.
She's making me sound like a little.
You love
elf.
Giggling. You're not an elf.
I love giggling.
You do.
Yeah, I guess I do.
Ray took out a hand holding up two fingers, which is a reference to Ray's most impactful thing on the show, which
Fingergate. Oof. So
anyways,
we're on a bench. We're outside. Haley and Megan. The confrontation. I would say that in this instance, Megan is Javert and Haley is Jean Valjean.
I am warning you, Javert. I am the stronger man by far.
Yeah. Yeah. So Haley says, I got this to give to you before the trial marriage ended, but it didn't come in time. And she hands Megan a rolled up shirt and says,
we don't see what it says.
We don't see what it says. Haley says, you aren't being honest about the trial marriage. And then she also says she's grateful for the work that they both did. Haley says that she's better for Pilar, which is all she wanted, which I think is really true.
I do think it's true. I think Megan was a complication, but I think Haley was the giver of the ultimatum. I think she went into this hoping to leave with Pilar.
And here we are. So then Megan says some bullshit.
Yeah, Megan says that Haley didn't give her space
to be fake married to Dana. That she was disrespectful.
Yeah, and I think the most wild thing here, and the reason why many people have totally turned on Megan, is that Megan tells Haley that if Haley wants to be in her life, she has to apologize to Dana. Yeah. Which Megan, grow a fucking spine at some point, dude.
Yeah, that's
I know.
Nuts.
I'm sorry. You're going through this terrible relationship. I know it's hard. But, like, are you making Mel apologize to you? Is that something that was cut from the edit?
Yeah, maybe.
Or was this a unilateral thing that Dana did to you to, like, have a friendship with Haley?
Apologize to Dana for, like,
for doing the experiment?
Trying to talk to Megan at the club once?
I think it's more apologize to Dana for having a full affair. Like, debatable whether or not any of this counts as, like, cheating. Like, yeah. It depends if it, like, the reason why some people are fine with other people hooking up in the trial marriages is because some of the time that has, like, experiment energy.
Yeah.
And some of the time, like, that has process energy. Like, oh, this was supposed to happen.
Part of the process.
Some of the time it has cheating energy. Technically, it's not really cheating.
I don't think it counts as cheating. I think it genuinely, like, hurts people.
It could be a violation of trust, but
yeah,
for the purposes of
betrayed,
the show, you are broken
but, like,
up.
That's not cheating. So Haley eats this part right up. She says, I don't want you in my life.
I think I wrote down the exact quote. I would never let someone in my life treat
yes.
me the way you've treated me.
Yes.
And I don't want you in my life in any capacity.
End of story.
And can I just say, the lines that the editors chose to or producers chose to include leading up to this are incredible, because you get, like, Haley and Megan, especially Haley, so many times during their trial marriage, you get Haley say, Megan's always going to be in my life. I always want her around.
And so Haley has to go back on everything she said.
This is deeply tragic, because I think even if they didn't end up together, I think Haley's friendship and support maybe
would have meant a lot to Megan.
Kind of could have helped her figure out who she is outside of Dana and outside of her family.
Yeah, like, it's so friends are so important in general. You know, regardless of how they could be friends if they had hooked up, but, like,
I think it's possible, especially for queer people.
Yeah. That's actually very true. And, like, especially in a tumultuous relationship, even if, like, I don't know, even if you don't think Megan and Dana's relationship is bad, you can agree it's tumultuous. It is so good to have friends to be around just for positive social energy, and also for somebody to rely on to kind of reality check you, or to support you, or to say, like, maybe I don't understand why you're with this person, but I love you and I'm here for you. And
or to say, like, you deserve better,
yeah.
and you should be able to stand up for your needs. And you shouldn't feel scared to bring that up to your partner.
Literally.
Which is a lot of the ways that sometimes people will, like, try to talk themselves out of it, where they're like, well, I guess I haven't ever really, like, tried to say anything to this person because I'm scared to. And then you'll be like, well, why are you scared? And then they'll give some example of a concrete way
terrifying.
That they acted, which would make anybody scared to bring anything up to them. And it's like, that's not okay. And you shouldn't be blaming yourself for not wanting to bring that to somebody when they have clearly shown that they're incapable of receiving that information and conversing with you in a healthy way.
Yeah. So Haley has a little confessional where she says she's never apologizing to Dana.
Yep.
And says that Megan was the one who was disrespectful. And then Haley says something very sad. She says, I think this is who Megan is. That's so sad.
That's so sad. And I mean, I get in a way what she's saying.
I see why she's come to that conclusion.
Where she's somebody who is going to do what Dana wants.
Yeah, is going to hurt other people or, like, subsume her own interests to be with Dana.
Yeah.
Very sad, but I don't think
that's necessarily how Megan actually is. I actually
or maybe
think...
how she like wants to be even.
People have said you could see like the way that Megan's eyes kind of just glaze over as soon as she's back with Dana. Like she's fucking like disassociating and shit. And she just was so much happier with Haley.
You could just see like openness in her face.
And honestly, I wonder if she would have been happier even if she didn't have Haley.
Just being
single and being like exploring Miami and like
have a good time in
not
Miami.
Being with Dana. You know, I saw I'm gonna scroll through my TikTok likes because I forget who exactly said
it. Yeah, we gotta give credit.
We gotta give credit to it because this was a brilliant idea. Oh my god, great. I looked it up. The Strap Down Podcast.
Yes, shout out to them.
Shout out to you guys. I've seen a lot of their videos on TikTok. They posted a video where they said, I think that when they go back to the original couples, there needs to be a therapist there to talk them through some of their issues.
Oh, that's really interesting.
There should be.
There should be a therapist there.
There should be a therapist there because, you know, some of you guys, like, clearly the part of the reason you're here is because you're having issues talking through the issues. And I think, issues talking through the fights that you guys have been going through. And I think that would be really interesting if you could show, like, you know, reality TV show certified therapist or whatever. And I don't know how legal it is to even air those sessions.
Really not. But I love this idea.
Well, Jack said his therapist.
Yeah, but that's not a real therapist.
His life coach.
The therapist on Vanderpump Rules. Not a real therapist.
Honestly, even a life coach would be preferable to push back on some of the patterns that some of these couples are experiencing. But Netflix doesn't want to do that. But I think I would have preferred... I think Megan would have been the same if she had a week with a therapist. And just away from Dana.
Yeah. So...
I understand why Haley is like, this is who Megan is, though. She thinks she saw like a glamorized version of somebody for 3 weeks who is just trying to kind of impress. And
then that like person disappeared and somebody else was there and that somebody's still there. Then to her, that is like, that is who Megan is to her. Haley says that she can either leave engaged to Pilar or single.
So
I always thought that was what I thought it would be.
For a minute, Megan was an option. And I think that's the thing that was really making her. I think Haley went into it thinking that she would leave with Pilar or leave single.
Right.
And then I think for a brief moment, she was like, well, I guess there's also the option, technically, to leave with Megan.
Yeah, I think she had, I think it wasn't even Megan specifically. I think it was just that she was having a positive experience. I think that probably shook her a little bit in the sense of, like, she was so sure it was Pilar. She had to really think about, like, is it Pilar or is it just this long-term relationship? And the conclusion she came to is that it's Pilar. And I think
Pilar.
That's lovely.
I think, I do think that's nice. And I mean, I think, you know, even if you saw the other ultimatum, the other, like, season one, and kind of knew what to expect, which, like, a lot of people were expecting a little bit, like, the possibility to hook up, but most of those couples didn't. And a lot of those couples, like Tiff and Sam and Mal and Lexi, you know, just kind of worked things out in, like, a friendly platonic way.
Yeah, and I think, like, a lot of the dating phase is heavily sexualized by production. And so I think a lot of people come into the first little bit of trial marriage, like, kind of all horned up.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, wait, this is just, like, sharing a living space with somebody I met a week
Some of
ago.
Them go right into being roommates.
Yeah.
Bridget and Ashley, roommates.
Yeah. Like, they have these, like, weird kind of moments where they're like,
Technically, we're married.
And then it's like, yeah, I just met you, though. And, like, let's just have some conversations. We're in an experiment. Like, I think most people tend to relax away from the, like, sexual, genuinely, like, romantically intimate as opposed to just emotionally intimate. A lot of people relax away from that. And some people run headlong into it and get flattened by it like a truck.
And the producers rub their grimy little hands together.
Yeah.
And we've spent a lot of time just talking about this
one
scene
portion.
Before any proposals.
I'm so excited for what's coming next.
But I think it's really funny. I think they knew how the audience would feel about these couples because they really stack
The layering is really good.
From the couple who you want most to see get married
to the
couple who you least want to get married.
This is going
to
be a thick episode, you guys. So.
So, of course, that means first,
AJ and Brittany.
AJ and Brittany.
Our faves, AJ and Brittany. I think we can say faves.
They're our faves. They're our faves. We love you, AJ and Brittany.
It's so good. So we start with Brittany in her little apartment, and she's laying on the couch. And to me, it was very clear that she'd been sleeping on the couch. Like, at least had done, I think, honestly, she'd done the very sad thing where you're really sad and you feel really crazy of getting out of bed at like 4 a.m. and laying on the couch and falling back asleep uncomfortably on the couch.
Yeah. Even though Brittany has nothing to worry about here. I think that like AJ and Brittany's trial marriage has kind of like shown, oh, they actually like each other and are probably going to be fine.
She does say though, Brittany says basically she doesn't know what to expect. She's putting her heart in someone else's hands. And it's so clear that like control is so important to her. And so it's terrifying for her to relinquish that. AJ in her hotel room is delivering us a lot of AJ-isms. So she says she's just trying to push through today. She can't really eat. Brittany is a catch above all catches. She's
true.
A boss bitch.
True.
AJ is saying that she's worried. She wants to reach things in her life that Brittany's already attained.
Again, this whole thing where AJ is just insecure about her not achieving as much as Brittany has achieved. And what that means for their relationship and being seen as equals.
So, we are again going to just a random grove.
A random grove, probably in the Everglades.
Yeah, Brittany's in the car.
That sucks. They all have to get engaged in fucking Florida.
Yeah, they do have to get engaged in Florida. Brittany is wearing, like, a red dress. I didn't love it. It was pretty, like, basic. She looked stunning. I didn't think the dress was all that interesting. And AJ is wearing, I guess, the prerequisite maroon suit.
Mel wasn't wearing maroon. Mel was wearing a grout fit.
Well, and did Mel get engaged?
Yes.
Oh, right.
Spoilers.
Anyway.
We didn't like it, but it happened.
Brittany says that AJ is always telling her she loves her and that the ultimate I love you is marrying me. AJ says, we don't do the D word. So if she gets engaged, they're getting married. And that freaks her out a little bit.
The D word does not exist. It's, I don't really have that much to say about it other than it's actually very, very sweet.
It's a great scene.
AJ, I said love Britney's earrings. I thought Britney's earrings
were
great.
Were heart-shaped. So they show up and they're both like, wow, you look so good. Like, they're so complimentary of each other. It's so clear that they're so attracted to each other. AJ's hands are shaking. You know it's so hot out there, too.
Yeah.
And so they both do a little speech. And it's really, really sweet. AJ says she's appreciative of Britney. I've seen how much work you put in to make sure we had a good run in our trial marriage. I adore you, baby. I've never, ever had a love like you. Brittany starts to cry, and AJ takes tissues out
AJ
of her suit.
AJ brought tissues knowing Brittany would cry.
It's so, so, so cute.
I think they saw an opportunity. They were like, we kind of want to get married anyways. Let's just... Because their story... is kind of like the exact one that you and I have decided we would manufacture if we went on the ultimatum. Oh, we're leaving a paper trail. But I think I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of wanted to get married and were like, fuck it, let's do it on reality TV.
Yeah.
And they played this game like a team.
Yeah, but I fully bought it. Like, I believed all of the emotions that we saw from them this whole season.
I think that was a genuine issue in there.
Yeah.
Like, I say manufactured, as in I don't think that that was ever truly going to stop them from getting married, but I don't think that means that they're not real insecurities, which would potentially impede them.
Brittany says, I know that the person you are at your core is someone I will always fight for and ride for. You bring a light out of me I didn't even realize I had. And then AJ says, it was always there. I literally wrote, if AJ doesn't propose, I'll kill myself. I started crying. AJ says that she pushed Brittany away because she didn't feel like a priority, but that, like, she does now. She takes a deep pause. She takes a deep breath, and she says, I don't want life with anyone else but you, babe. Nothing compares to the love that we share. I'm crying again.
Oh, my
Nobody
God.
Nobody cares for me like you do. You're the love of my life.
AJ's going to do what AJ's going to do.
You're the love of my life, my peace, my soulmate.
Babe.
And I can't say I do without you. Brittany's crying. I'm crying. I'm crying again now.
She's crying on the pod.
I'm crying talking about
it. It was really sweet.
And then AJ proposes, and you can see that none of Brittany's makeup is waterproof because she is crying, and there are tears. They're both so happy. And then AJ says a really classic AJ-ism, which is AJ says to Brittany, I love you to the universe and back. Do you know why? And Brittany says,
why?
And AJ says, because the moon is too close. And that's not really how that works. That's not where the we're all. So the universe is the thing that the moon's
we're in the universe. I love it. AJ should host the ultimatum. AJ should absolutely host the ultimatum.
Oh my God.
I think she would be so good at it.
Such a good narrator. They do a silly little dance. They're so happy. I was so happy for them.
I was really happy. I wasn't expecting to think anybody should get married, but I liked them a lot.
I loved this proposal.
I liked them a lot. I thought the proposal was really sweet.
I cried, so clearly I felt something.
I think they wanted to work through their issues together, and I think their issues didn't seem necessarily that big, and I think ultimately they were both able to work towards it. Like, this really sweet moment.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Then we go back to kind of a bummer. It's not gonna be a bummer, but it's a bummer at the beginning, which is Haley and Pilar were in Pilar's sad little hotel room.
Yeah, well, you know, they have to, like, it opens in everybody's separate hotel rooms.
Being sad.
And being sad because they're like, I don't know if I'm going to get married. At this point, we know Pilar and Haley are going to get married realistically. Megan is just taking herself out of the running. And they just spent, like, the last episode with Pilar saying that she was married. Was ready to marry Haley and was ready to stick up to her family.
So, Haley, we get a little confessional of her saying she was really pleasantly surprised with how much Pilar has been willing to work. Pilar is talking in a confessional about the life that her and Haley have built. We get some little clips of, like, Chris healing Pilar, basically.
Chris
giving her familial love from a parental figure. And the Black Escalade fleet is pulling up. Pilar's getting out. This is like a little waterfall grove area. They're just, I don't know where they are. Like, are they on the grounds of a resort? Like, is this a theme park for getting engaged? It's just like,
I mean, they have a Bible theme park in Florida, so anything is possible.
It's just like photogenic little areas where they can propose. And Pilar is wearing a black dress. It's got a little bit of detailing on it. And then she is wearing like a powder blue shoe. They both say that they look pretty. Pilar even says, did you know it would be this dress? And Haley says, honestly, I didn't remember this dress. It's very cute. Aww. They smooch. The producers tell Pilar to ask Haley about Megan. She says, how'd it go with Megan? And Haley says she told Megan to F off and it's actually fine. It doesn't even matter. She's clearly very mad.
Yeah.
But she doesn't seem, it's not like she is like, no, that was going to be my wife. No, she's just like kind of mad.
Might be kind of mad that she lost a friend.
Yeah. Pilar says that she feels like she almost lost Haley and it forced her to stop being afraid.
Literally, they are like the propaganda for why this works.
Yeah.
They're literally like, you know, maybe if you just convince your partner that they could lose you forever, they'll finally want to get married to you.
This is where I'm going to reveal that I'm a weeper. I love to cry.
I will weep.
So
I'm trying to remember the silliest thing that you cried. Oh, you sobbed. Well, Turning Red was really sad. She did sob during Turning Red, though.
Hysterically. So Pilar starts to speech, and she basically says that she always focused on the wrong things and tried to prove herself to people who don't matter. She says, I choose you, and it's always been you, and I'll always choose you every day for as long as
it's
you'll
okay,
let me.
It's okay, baby.
And I'm crying again because I like love.
I know,
think it's nice.
I know. You're very much a Pisces.
They both cry. Haley says that what's been so beautiful about the past 3 weeks is that it really did feel like a marriage. Pilar kneels and pulls out a ring and says, will you marry me? And Haley says, every day. They say the rings are perfect. At the reunion, they've got different ones. So.
Did you notice that? Well, AJ and Brittany point out that they got a different
one.
Yeah,
not everybody keeps the rings. They need a jeweler for this segment, I think. This is a pretty heavy pitch that they need a jeweler. Because they're showing the rings so much. And they're making everyone say that they're good.
And then clearly they're not.
And they're not. And they're not. And then this is the best part. They FaceTime Dave.
They FaceTime Dave.
They call Dave, and Dave is so happy.
Dave literally, like,
oh, it's
almost
so good.
Giving, not quite, but almost giving Chris
it was incredible.
A run for her money.
I loved this.
As one of the best parent plays
on
the show.
I loved that they let them do that. I loved this proposal too, honestly. Like, I thought this was really, really lovely. I thought Pilar grew so much.
Yeah.
I was like,
she really did.
It's, I was so happy for her.
Because it's like, she was in such a terrible place. Like, that's a really hard thing to go through when you've kept a relationship hidden for 8 years.
Yeah.
And you're scared to tell your family. And then you finally do, and they do exactly the thing you were afraid of.
We're scared they would do, which is reject you. Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's such an incredible little scene. I love these first two proposals. I think they're amazing.
And I did realize that I thought they went in the order. No, they didn't. They go to who I think are the third couple, third least desiring to get married couple, which is Ashley and Marita. We're gonna see them have the same exact fight
this is
again.
Such a funny segment.
I said Ashley has to share screen time with Bentley.
Yeah, Bentley's helping her pick an outfit.
Bentley is such a great dog. I will.
Yeah,
say.
Bentley's a great dog. Great friend.
Marita glazing Brittany again.
Oh my god, literally.
Marita talking about how she never had to ask Brittany for anything, and Brittany proved to her that romance isn't too much to ask for.
Ashley is saying, so she's saying when they came in, she felt confident and strong in their relationship. To that I say, yeah, right.
No, you didn't.
No, you did.
You guys
not.
Played rock, paper, scissors to figure literally. Out who would be the receiver and who would be the giver before you went on the show. You have Ashley has
nuts.
Never seemed like she's wanted to marry Marita.
Oh, it was
she's
nuts.
Actually, like, frequently complained.
It actually seems like they don't like each other. Ashley does say
they hate each other bad.
Yeah, they do. Ashley says she regrets not going all out, but then she does pick out a pair of gray business style slacks.
Ashley is dressed
shirt.
For happy hour.
She looks like the manager at a restaurant.
There's a lot of foreshadowing here.
In the outfit selection.
In the outfit selection.
So, yeah.
Ashley is clearly not dressed for a proposal.
So Marita has selected a white dress. So it's basically a white faux lace overlay of like a nude illusion slip. So she's meant to look like she's wearing this very floaty white dress and she might not have anything underneath of it. It doesn't look awesome. I think the nude illusion just doesn't look great in the lighting. Marita says, this is the woman I love, and it's scary. I hope it's us. And then they show up to the little grove where they're supposed to get engaged, and there's a black cat.
There's a black
it
cat
was so
that
funny.
Literally crosses Marita's path.
There's literally a black cat in the grove,
and
just
she says
chilling.
Something about it,
like,
too,
did
later.
Did the producers bring it? Well, okay, so they show up. And Ashley says, wow, you look so pretty. And Ashley's outfit, I wrote down, welcome to Best Buy, will you marry me? She looks like she works at the Genius Bar. It's such a business
it's
professional
a good
outfit.
Business professional outfit.
Yeah, like, if
I would wear that to work, 100%.
If I went into a bank and she was the regional manager of the bank, I'd be like, perfect.
I will say, it is very difficult for masked lesbians to dress in a way that isn't...
It's hard, yeah.
That isn't either I run this McDonald's like the Navy or, like, business happy hour.
Yeah, it is hard. I think the colored suits are very good for the it kind of this
colored
occasion,
suits,
actually.
Like, textured t-shirt underneath.
Yeah, because it's not business formal, but it's clearly an occasion look. Ashley's not wearing an occasion look.
We're going to let it slide because she's not even proposing.
Yeah, this
so,
isn't, this isn't
spoilers.
Marita's wearing a little bit of body glitter. And then Ashley says, there's a cat. Is the cat a bad sign? And Marita says, yes. It's so sad.
They kind of both know what's so gonna sad. Happen.
Ashley,
this isn't sad. They needed to do this. Every single person in their life was telling them they needed to do this.
It just sucks they had to do it in this ceremony on TV.
Yeah.
So Ashley's gonna go ahead and take out her notes. She says, the past 4 years has been pure bliss. To that I say, okay. I don't
where's
know about that
the bliss?
Girl.
I also said Ashley Loki is the worst person who could popcorn read.
Like, she's kind of losing her place a little.
She doesn't know, as in she just doesn't speak with inflection. Like, I just know she would have somehow gotten called on to read Hamlet in
I was gonna say Romeo and Juliet.
To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether tis nobler of the mind. Like,
I think she can read.
No, it's Buzz the off. High school people can read too, but it's just like some people don't want to like have a little fun with it. Some people just want to read. They don't want to read with inflection.
Ashley's letter, she says, I struggle with thinking I deserve someone as pure as you. My heart has been yours since we met. Blah, blah, blah. You deserve the world. Whether that world is with me or without me, I will always be your biggest supporter.
Ashley's saying, I am breaking up with you.
Yeah, she starts to say, hey, we're going to break up. Hey, this is a breakup. Hey, we're breaking up. They start crying. Ashley's crying, and she says, you're amazing. Don't ever forget that. And
Marita is saying, like, this is the emotion I need from you.
Saying, yay, she feels.
She finally is going to, like, even in the depth of their relationship, they still are not communicating.
Oh my god, it's so funny.
Ashley is clearly trying to break up for her, and Marita is like, oh my god, she's finally doing something romantic.
Marita says, everything I want with you. And Ashley says, same. Literally, she says same.
This has been like the third time that someone said something really nice and then the other person just says same.
We're back on the, so we immediately start to get back to their same fight. Marita says, am I your forever? And Ashley says, I want you to be my forever.
Ashley says, have you been happy these past few months with me?
And Marita says,
nope.
Ashley says, what if I'm holding you back? And Marita says, this experience has given us tools. Anyway, then Ashley says, I don't know if I can go through an engagement, not right at this time. So she finally comes out and says it. You ain't getting a proposal from me. And Marita says, I was going to say yes. So
they could have avoided all this if they had the receiver propose. For some reason, they just make the masks propose.
Yeah, because like, I guess,
even with Kyle and Bridget, they had Kyle propose because I guess they determined Kyle was the more mask one. Kyle was the giver.
So the giver.
They had Pilar propose to Haley because Pilar occasionally wore blazers. And so they decided she was the boy.
Yeah, it seems very arbitrary who is going to do the kneeling.
And you didn't notice it in the last one because all of the receivers except Xander were masks.
Yeah.
And Xander broke up with Vanessa.
So there wasn't
a proposal. There wasn't a proposal, but I'm like, that's kind of fucked up.
It is. I do think, like, I think it makes sense for the ultimatum giver to propose.
Because it's, like, on the receiver to say yes or
no. Yeah, exactly. It's the receiver's choice.
But then also, I feel like the traditional ultimatum, like, if you look at, like, it's traditionally given by the woman.
Yeah.
In a male.
And so it's like, you better
female,
propose.
In a straight couple. And so then it's like the ultimatum receiver accepts the ultimatum by proposing.
Yeah.
I just
think
it should be consistent. And I don't think you should just do whichever one the producers arbitrarily decide is the boy.
Well, so I actually don't know that it should be consistent. I think like the roles and the energies are so different. I don't like that it's all the masks this season. That feels like the producers decided that
I
the masks
are consistent with, like, the receivers versus the givers.
Yeah, like,
I think it should be that either the givers or the receivers have to propose. Shouldn't just be the more masculine presenting person has to propose.
I'm not mad at it being varied, but I don't like that the quote-unquote variety that we're seeing is in a very clear pattern that says, if you wear pants, boy.
It was varied because they wanted the... It was varied just to make sure that you, God forbid, you have the more feminine presenting one propose. I'm just like, how did they do the fucking math with like Haley and Pilar and like Kyle and Bridget? And they're like, okay, mullet. So that's boy.
Mullet is boy.
But shorter hair
shorter
than
the girl one
is boy. But bartender, that's boy job. And then Pilar and Haley, they're like, long hair. Girl.
Both girl.
Makeup. Both girl. Both girl. Ooh, wear suit. But pantsuit like Model UN?
Who is boy?
Who is boy?
Who is boy?
Someone like poor Netflix intern in like a whiteboard with like Haley and Pilar giving like masculine traits versus femme traits with like a big who is boy question.
So this part is kind of epic because I think at this point I was so frustrated by seeing them have the same fight that I think this moment is kind of epic. So Marita,
they kind of just do the right thing fucking finally.
Marita says, I was going to say yes if there was a proposal, but you took it away, so I guess I'm ready to leave. And Ashley says, you're not even gonna hug me. Then they start crying. Then they keep fucking fighting.
They're so funny.
They keep
doing
it again. They're stuck in a time loop.
Like
fight.
they're toxic, but in kind of like a funny way. Not in like a way where I'm like free yourself, but in a way where I'm just like, oh my god, these two.
This part's so awesome too. Ashley says, "If I were to propose to you, I want to be waking up happy as hell, singing Taylor Swift songs, and I didn't wake up happy today." And Marita Queen, I'm gonna make you a Taylor Swift playlist.
Yes.
Wow, you're Death by a Thousand Cuts coded.
It's
holy
death
shit.
By a thousand cuts.
Holy shit.
I like how they're both Swifties. I'm what if the Eras Tour is ruined forever? They were dating during the Eras Tour.
Oh my god. Marita is kind of walking off, and she says, "If she can't do anything more than she already does, then I guess I have to go find someone who can. But I want it to be her," and that's very sad. Like,
it is very sad.
This is super sad because neither of them can or will change, but they wish the other one would. It's kind of a huge bummer.
They're not right for each other. I think at a certain point they did get along. I do think they broke up before they went on the show, and I think this is their last ditch effort to make this relationship work. And it just clearly doesn't, because, and I kind of do think Marita is slightly more in the right, because I do think it's easier for Ashley just to start doing more romantic things.
Yeah, then
she is capable of it.
Ashley squats down by a tree to cry.
Oh, well, Ashley, I think, also says before Marita leaves, "I love you, I'm sorry."
Yeah.
And I was just like,
wow,
you
were
I'm
the best,
sorry,
but you were the worst. As sick as it sounds.
Gosh.
Yeah, literally. Like, that's about to be Marita's song of the summer.
Are you playing Bubble Shooter right now?
Yeah.
Why?
Because I like to have something to do with my hands.
Have you been doing this for all of the podcast episodes?
No, just some. I like to have something to do with my hands. It helps me concentrate.
This is how much I respect her privacy. I never look at her computer screen when we're doing the pods, but now it's just the way we're on the bed that, like, I can see
that you can
it.
See that I'm playing Bubble Shooter? Yeah. Well, it's good that you couldn't see before when I was texting my hose.
I found out a bunch of her coworkers were hot tonight, so that was great.
I'm not into my coworkers.
I understand.
I'm not.
I
it's
understand
work.
If you would be, but
I'm not into my coworkers like that. I'm so professional at work. I only flirt with the customers, and that's for money.
Anyways, we get through this.
Oh, Ashley has to do it to him.
Yes, Ashley literally says, "I had to do it."
And she's wearing the "had to"
do it to them fit.
Standing kind of
doing
in, like,
the pose
in front of a palm tree, like, and had to do it to him.
It's so coincidental. I don't think it could have been intentional, but
it was
so
awesome.
Fucking funny.
It was awesome. She says, "I loved her enough to let her go." I guess you
that's true.
I guess you didn't love her enough to try harder, though.
Yeah, that's
so,
a good point.
Ashley and Bridget, Ashley and
Kyle and Bridget.
No, Ashley and Marita.
Oh, Ashley and Marita.
Ashley and Marita, and the way they were the whole time,
having the same exact fight.
Yeah, frustrating and fucking annoying to watch.
Anyways,
Kyle and Bridget.
They did it the right. They made the right choice.
Yeah,
ultimately.
They really did make the right choice to break up. Like, they weren't happy. And it sucks, but, like, they were never going to be happy.
They were never going to be happy. They clearly didn't want to do the work to be happy. They needed to break up.
They needed to break up.
If they didn't break up now, they absolutely would have been broken up by the reunion.
Yeah, because we're going to see some crazy shit. I'm excited.
One more couple to get through before we get to the truly toxics. Kyle and Bridget. I wrote down, and I noticed this a while ago, but I didn't say anything about it on the pod.
Ooh.
I'm pretty sure Kyle has a Boy Genius tattoo.
Oh, the tooth on the hand?
They have a tooth. I mean, anyone
can
get
hand.
A tooth on. Oh, it is right on the hand, too.
It's bite the hand.
I know. Cue the annoying Boy Genius stands talking about how that's actually, like, totally gets the point of the song. I mean,
whatever.
I'm a fan of Boy Genius. I think a lot of you guys are annoying as fuck.
I'm not
but
a fan of Boy
I
Genius.
I know.
Okay too.
That's also okay. But I don't know. I don't think it's that big of a deal if somebody gets a tattoo to say they're a fan of a band. But
we see Kyle on a run.
Do you think Kyle tried out for the Best Guest music video?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like something Kyle would be comfortable doing.
That's
to be
true.
With
they
you.
Absolutely could have gotten on. If
yeah,
they,
that's
if the
really
stars
true.
Had aligned,
they could have been in
and
that video.
And then, like, this premiered before the casting call for
Ooh,
that video was
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Kyle and Bridget would have been cast.
Yeah, for sure.
1,000,000%.
Kyle has great running form. they did run in college. They're like, you can look up their running, like, their NCAA records. It doesn't really matter. But
May knows somebody. That's,
I know somebody who knows somebody.
Googling, stalking Kyle.
I know somebody who knows somebody who knows Kyle, because the lesbian community is freaking tiny. But yeah, Kyle's on a run. And then Bridget is journaling.
Bridget also is someone who I'm like, that's a genuine journaler.
Yeah, Bridget says, how can I get married if I don't know who I'm going to be in 10 years?
Bridget is being an Aquarius again,
yeah,
is what I wrote.
Yeah, bad.
Bridget's whole arc is not wanting to get married because of Woke.
Yeah.
Because of, well, what's even
what
the
even
difference?
Is the point?
Power of attorney, that's what. Intestate succession.
So Kyle talks a little bit about saying that they learned areas she needs to work on herself while she was in her trial marriage. Bridget says that they are insecure and that Kyle is a people pleaser. They're both kind of voicing their kind of last doubts.
They both kind of didn't really get a chance to talk about these doubts at all because they weren't super toxic.
Yeah. They didn't really fight.
Which, I mean, is kind of their problem, but...
Yeah. They both rock up to this waterfall grove wearing kind of suit vibes. So Kyle is wearing a brown suit over a white t-shirt, but with a pink loafer. And Bridget is wearing a black slacks and then a heavy black jacket with a lot of cool patches and pins. And then a little silky top. They smile, they hug. Bridget takes off the jacket because it's really hot. I thought Kyle looked really pretty good here. I think, like, this is a good... Kyle's style is very consistent and very good on them.
Yeah. I think the one thing I said here about them was I wish they were as fun on the show as they were on the internet.
Yeah, because they're really fun online.
They're very fun
they're
on the
funny.
Internet.
They, like, make sense together. They're just kind of awkward on TV.
I wish they showed us Bridget stealing the cups.
Yeah, that would have been funny. They're just a little bit awkward on TV. Kyle says, I appreciate you so much for doing this with me. And Bridget says, yeah, it was hard. Their speeches are kind of bad. Bridget says she's proud of how far they've come because it wasn't easy. Kyle says that they learned to want marriage when before they couldn't imagine spending the rest of their life with someone. Now they can't imagine spending their life without Bridget.
Somebody says neither one of us really knew what a marriage looks like. And it's like, well, Kyle has Chris and Gary.
Yeah, exactly. Kyle says that the past 2.5 years have been so much fun. They say that after the first date, you still give me butterflies. I get so happy when I see you. Kyle starts crying. Loving you is so fulfilling. I want this for the rest of my life. I think that's a beautiful thing to say.
That is really sweet.
I genuinely think that is such a lovely sentiment about what it means to be married.
I think if I saw more of them on the show, if Bridget wasn't with Ashley and therefore lost all of her screen time.
We might have seen
and
some
Kyle's
more
screen
stuff.
Time wasn't entirely devoted to that one really awkward fight.
Yeah.
I would have liked them a lot more.
And I like them in this proposal. So
I do.
Kyle gets down on a knee. And Bridget says yes. Apparently, there was a proposal
Bridget
back.
Bridget said, because they have TikToks up where they are reviewing all of their outfits, which they wore.
Yeah.
And Bridget says, and I proposed to Kyle back, which the show didn't show. I guess it was too gay for them. It was too mask for mask. And so...
Maybe they didn't have time because of the drama.
Maybe they didn't have time. Well, they let Dana propose, and Dana couldn't even get on a big... Dana couldn't
You're
even
so
get down
enraged
on a
big...
Because of her tits.
Yeah,
so
we'll get to that.
When I get down on one knee for May, I have a similar problem to Dana. I'm going to make sure I wear something where they're not going to be popping out so I can kneel like a fucking adult.
I am a little worried how I'm gonna kneel. Because not a lot of my dresses have like kneeling capacity.
Well, that's okay.
I'm going to figure it out.
You're not Dana. I'll let it slide. but...
Oh, yeah. Bridget says it's good to be engaged.
I said, Bridget has finally learned what marriage
well,
is.
Well, yeah, because Bridget says it doesn't matter how others define marriage. It only matters how we do. Yeah, girl.
Yes, yes, yes,
that's
yes.
That's the point.
She's realized, wait a minute. So marriage can just be like us together now, but with
more.
Filing our taxes concurrently. And it's like, yes, yes, yes.
Duh.
No, good for Bridget, though.
Yeah, there is a very cute moment where Bridget says that Kyle has always wanted to be a fiancé because it's the only gender-neutral term.
The only exploration of gender that we get in the show.
Yeah,
and they're too scared to go there.
Yeah, I really think they are because, I don't know, not to stereotype, but to me it's very clear that like Kyle's and Bridget's genders are very kind of different than just woman and girl. Like, I think their genders are...
Well, they have... they use they pronouns and she pronouns.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. Like, I think, and I think, like, there are some inklings where we kind of see them poking out these things about talking about gender, but it just gets, like, totally kind of
shadowed. Because then this is, at the end of the day, a gay show for straight people.
Yeah.
Where it's easier sometimes, and not to say that mask femme or butch femme couples are heteronormative, because they are not. However, that's kind of, some of it might be a little easier to digest for straight people if they can more clearly identify gender roles, and then the roles that somebody must, obviously based on these based on their gender presentation, serve in a relationship, even though these can be very different.
Yeah, I think, like, I don't know, mask femme couples are easy for straight people to digest, even if they don't actually understand what those couples' dynamics are and what
the history of those dynamics. Yeah.
But they're easy for straight people to digest, and, you know, other things aren't.
Other things aren't. Like, it kind of alludes to it, where I think they talk to Pilar about coming out to their parents,
they haven't,
and they're like,
fully.
They haven't fully, which I think is clearly
about the gender thing. But
anyways, Bridget, I'm sorry they cut off your proposal. I think it's great that they both proposed to each other.
I think it's nice. I think they're cute.
I wish you both a long and happy life of hanging out with Gabby from The Bachelorette.
Yeah, they're friends.
Hi, Queen. Hi, Robbie.
Amazing.
And doing talks at gay clubs in LA and appearing on various podcasts.
Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, you guys are very funny online.
And now, unfortunately, we have to enter Proposals of Doom and Despair.
The Proposals of Doom and Despair,
where now
Dana has to tie stuff up with Mel. We've had Megan tying up things with Haley. Last episode, Dana and Mel at the cocktail party, I interpreted this as some kind of an alliance.
Kind of aligned, kind of a fight, unclear.
Where, like, they were, like, really considering marrying each other.
Dana is looking at some ugly Zara dresses on her...
you can see the Zara
bed.
Label.
You can see the Zara tag, and she says that in her and Megan growing, they lost each other, blah, blah, blah. Dana's freckles are so pretty, and then she wears this crazy full coverage foundation. Whatever. She says the ultimatum is not just up to Megan. Yeah, you're the one who gave it. She talks about Mel's letter. She's, you know, she's talking about, like, all of her feelings, blah, blah, blah. It's the setup to talk to Mel. I forgot that Mel was gonna show up.
Well, yeah, there's been a lot going on.
I was like, oh, great, now Dana and Megan are getting together. I forgot Mel was going to be there, and I wish she hadn't. She looks terrible.
I said, Mel looks bad, as per usual, and immediately following that, Mel, stop biting your damn lip.
I do have to say some things about Mel's outfit. So,
yes, your theory.
I want to talk about the outfits specifically. So Dana is wearing a very tight red spaghetti strap dress. The color is good on her. I would say that the dress fits a little awkwardly. It's very clear that, like, the cup size is incorrect for her, and so the dress is kind of cutting into her boobs, and it's doing that thing where, like, the boobs kind of poke out over the dress. Happens to the best of us. It's happening to Dana as well. But she looks put together. Mel really doesn't look put together. So Mel is wearing gray jeans and a blue-gray shirt. And the shirt is pretty wrinkled. It's also oversized.
It's also not tucked in.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Or tied.
It doesn't really fit, and it's not kind of tucked in it at all. It's just put on top of the pants. And, like, regardless of, like, some people prefer to wear clothes that are a little oversized, I don't really have any comment on that. My primary comment is that the shirt and pants are both extremely wrinkled. And as we will see going forward in the reunion, Mel's shirt and pants are also extremely wrinkled in the reunion. And it's my theory that Marie was ironing Mel's clothes for her because she got ready without Marie. And so Marie couldn't iron that outfit. And then, spoiler alert, but at the reunion, she also gets ready without Marie because they break up. And so Marie couldn't iron that outfit.
Wearing another gray shirt.
Exactly, wearing another gray shirt. And, like, throughout the season, Mel's, like, hasn't really worn a ton of formal wear, except for right at the beginning when she comes in with Marie. So clearly, like, Marie ironed that shirt for her. But, like, throughout the season, she's not wearing clothes that need to be ironed. She's wearing a lot of, like, just shake and go clothes, regular Henley, whatever. So
some of them look good.
To me, this is an indicator that like Mel doesn't iron or like take care of her clothes,
which like at a
is
certain
morally
point,
neutral.
Fair. Like I'm bad at ironing a lot of my. I've gone out and wrinkled clothes many a time.
Yeah.
But hey,
it's okay. But it's just like Mel, you're on TV.
If I was on TV, I am fucking figuring out how I'm like, at least having like 3/4 of the shirt be ironed.
Yeah, exactly.
And then like a little bit wrinkled in the back.
Yeah, when you know you sit down, whatever.
Yeah, but
so Mel looks crazy.
Yeah. And all of that towards Marie, to have Marie be the one who is ironing her clothes.
Definitely. So Mel and Dana are going to chat. Dana says, I found the letter you wrote me. It's the most beautiful letter anyone has ever written me. People don't really be getting letters. So do you think it was the only letter she's ever gotten?
I mean, like maybe she's gotten birthday cards.
Mel doesn't want to make this harder than it needs to be. Dana shuts everything down. Dana is like, no, because I think she's started to like remember that Megan is really hot and easy to control.
Yeah, and Mel is not. I think the conversation that they had at the cocktail party where Mel was like, "Okay, mom."
Yeah, that really pissed her off, I think.
I think that really pissed her off, and I think she was like, "Why am I going to try this person who I actually kind of think they might make each other happy?"
Dana and Mel. Yeah, in their own twisted way.
In their own twisted way, I think that their toxicity...
They're each other's match a little
cancel
bit.
...cancel it out, but I think they don't want an even match.
No, they want power.
Mel wants someone who's going to take care of her unconditionally and kind of let her do whatever she wants.
Yeah, not... She doesn't want to feed anybody emotionally, but she's fine to be taken care of.
She's fine to be taken care of, and... Dana wants someone to control.
Yep.
Dana wants someone who she can make into a ride or die because they will be too scared to be anything but.
So Dana says, I don't have the capacity to open my heart to somebody else when I'm in love with somebody else. So Dana's basically like, this isn't going anywhere. And then she asks if Mel wants to be friends. Mel says, no. And
Mel doesn't want to be Dana's backup. Is what I said, because I think that's
exactly
why they would want to be friends.
Exactly. And so Mel kind of says, I don't want to hurt you, but like, no. And Dana says, I don't think you're trying to hurt me. I think you're a liar. So then they start fighting.
Which is again, really Dana funny. Telling Mel what she wants.
So they kind of both, it's clear that they both go into this intending not to fight, and then their nature takes over and they fight. Dana says, Mel, what was your plan today? Mel, what was your plan? She's like very insistent, like, what was your plan? And Mel says, I got Marie a ring. I'm gonna throw up. I'm scared.
I take this as Mel basically saying, like, I would
have
proposed
to you. Do you still want to? Yeah.
I think if Dana had wanted to propose, I'm just like, oh, God damn it, Dana. I wanted these two to take each other out of the dating pool forever.
Dana randomly locks in here and she says...
Locks in on Megan.
She says, are you proposing to Marie because it's what she wants or because it's like because you want to, because you love her? And Mel says, for her. It's what she wants.
Yeah, this is actually kind of crazy. Dana's actually really
she's
randomly
making a lot
right.
Of sense.
I think it's kind of because she secretly kind of does want to be with Mel, and so she's like, "Oh, don't propose to Marie." I don't even know. Like maybe Dana is trying to push Mel away.
She just likes to oppose Mel.
She likes
to tell Mel she's wrong.
I think if Mel had gotten down on one knee and given Dana a ring, Dana would have said yes.
Yeah, but
sorry,
Megan. I think in this case she just wants to be in opposition.
Yeah.
So
this results in a broken clock situation.
Yeah, where she's right.
She says,
you don't marry someone because it's what they want. You marry them because you want to marry them. True.
Can't realize that Megan only wants to marry Dana because it's what Dana wants.
Dana's missing the point entirely about herself, but that's okay.
She's absolutely right when it comes to Mel, though. Like,
yeah,
Mel
she
has
really,
been doing
really
Marie
is
a
right.
huge disservice.
It's so crazy, like
crazy
randomly,
fucked up bad.
Crazy fucked up bad. Dana says, she thinks she broke Mel's heart. That's
not
so
true.
That's like so funny. Like Mel is not devastated.
Mel is like, oh, whatever. I'll just marry Marie then.
Yeah, they both kind of seem like mad, but not like they care that much.
I mean, at the reunion, Mel is nonchalant on stage as her ex-partner, who she was with for 4 years and ran a business together, like, hurls invectives at her.
Yeah, it's
which
awesome.
She deserves.
It's fucking, you guys, the reunion's fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. So the Dana and Mel portion has concluded. Megan is looking extremely sexy. Same outfit as before. She looks so good. I hate this.
I hate what happens. I said Dana again tramples over Megan's boundaries.
Yep.
She's like, what happened with Haley? Megan's like, it's a really long story.
And
but
Dana's
it's
like,
done.
Did you do what I told you to do?
And
Megan's
like,
yeah.
And then Dana's like, Dana is happy. Megan is her minion.
Yeah, pretty much. She says, so then Dana kind of has to air out some stuff. She says, she's like, I'm proud of you. Mel wrote me this letter. We were more than friends. We had feelings. Blah, blah, blah.
Doesn't admit that they did anything physically at this point. Allegedly, what both of them have said is that Dana told Megan this after the fact. And also now, for some reason, she's going on the podcast circuit and also at the reunion is like, I just don't understand how that's anyone's business besides me. Mel, and Megan. And it's like, you brought it on reality TV.
Yeah, it's all our business now.
It's all our business now, queen.
So Dana gets out a little letter and is like, blah, blah, blah. You softened my heart. You made me a better person. Yikes.
What were you like before, girl?
I don't know how I ever lived without you. I feel so safe with you. Megan is also going to read a prepared statement. This was a pretty fun little prepared statement. She says, you are someone who saw something in me my hardest times. With you, I can focus on just being and not doing, not focusing on achievements, just how magical and special life truly is. I want all the first things with you. First house, first car, first kid. Do you not have a car?
I don't know where they live.
Michigan.
Well,
right?
Dana's from Michigan. I don't know where Megan's from.
Okay. Like, because some places you need a car.
You know who else was from Michigan? Kristen Doty from Vanderbilt.
Oh, yeah, she is from. And she does make a return there in the show.
She makes dramatic return to Michigan or maybe shacking up with Jax. It's kind of unclear. Kristen Doty is not like Dana. she's clearly doing better.
Much better on the Valley.
I mean, we're doing a rewatch of Vanderpump, and Kristen season 4 is already like, oh
crazy
my god,
city. Yeah.
No, like she's actually not bad season 4. Like she's.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Season 3, Kristen was going through it.
Megan calls Dana her family on her home and her home. She gets down on a knee and proposes, and Dana says yes. Womp womp. Bummer.
R.I.P. Megan.
Yeah, pour one out for a really hot mask.
I guess she's got time to escape. I mean, Dana said she wanted a big wedding.
Yeah, they've got some time. And maybe Megan's mom will drive Dana away. She could be that powerful. We see the proposal back here, but Dana just takes the ring out of her tits.
And says, if I'm Neil, I'm going to bust out of this dress.
It's so funny.
So here you go.
It's so
funny. And honestly, she's right.
Like, yeah, I don't know where I would put a ring if I didn't have a... Like, I'll just put it in a purse. But I guess Dana doesn't, for whatever reason, doesn't have a purse. It's just so funny because, you know, that ring's kind of warm and sweaty. Like, it's Miami. It's summer. It's, like, so hot. That ring is kind of damp. But yeah, she proposes back. Megan says yes back.
They say with enough pressure, you create a diamond.
Megan says that. She says, I guess ultimatums work.
I'll talk about, we can unpack all of that. We still have one more proposal to get through.
Wait, the final thing is that Megan picks up Dana and carries her off with ease. It looks like she's holding a pillow. It looks like it's so easy.
That's why Dana wants to keep her in her clutches.
Of course, Dana chose Megan. That's so hot, unfortunately.
Megan, oh my god. If you keep doing your hair in that high pony, break up with Dana.
Please.
You have such a wonderful life ahead of you.
You have great eyebrows. You're going to be fine.
You have great eyebrows. You have great hair. You're fit. You have
swole,
jacked lesbian couple friends.
You have jacked friends. They can help you move. Ugh. So,
your parents, we hear Megan later, Megan's parents are starting to come around.
Yeah, could be good. All right. It's Marie and Mel.
Let's get this shit over with.
Marie Marie is petting her cats by herself again. She basically says she is worried that she will lose the life that her and Mel have built together, but it's not enough to stay with someone who doesn't love you. That's true. She will stay with someone who doesn't love her.
Yep. She will stay with someone who doesn't love her because that person is going to continue to lie straight to her face. Mel talks about how Dana was the first person to see her and hear her. What? Like,
literally whatever.
Says, I think that Marie has grown a lot. Have you?
Yeah,
have
literally.
You grown through this experience? Have you considered that that's something you might need to do?
Seems like not. Marie pulls up to the Grove where they're at. She's wearing a white dress. It's kind of a long white dress. Clearly going for something bridal. And she's doing side part solidarity. She also has a side part.
Looks better, though.
Yeah, she looks nice. Marie kind of starts talking. She's like, we can get through and get over anything. You deserve so much happiness. Then Mel basically says, yeah, I've been up and down. I don't really know. Sure and unsure. Woke up sure, woke up unsure. Marie is really trying to guide Mel to propose. She's like, it's rewarding to see how far we've grown. Come on, you can do it, you can do it.
She says at one point, I value how honest you've been to Mel, while Mel has actively been lying to
fully
her.
Fully been lying.
The entire time.
It is bananas. Then Mel kind of says, no matter what I'm scared of, I want to do it with you. Marie is like, okay.
I said, like, literally sunk cost fallacy at this point. Truly. Mel doesn't want to get married, but she's like, well, I've been with this bitch for 4 years.
Marie,
so might as well.
Marie is like, it's like when you were trying to convince a child that they want the thing that you need them to do. It's like you're trying to convince the kid they need to put shoes on. Marie is like, okay, he's got one shoe on. We can do this. And then Mel pulls out a ring pop.
Ugh. This is almost worse than the thing that Aussie did last season.
With the rock?
Yeah, with the rock.
This is worse than the rock. It's like a joke.
It's a joke.
It's like a joke.
It's like you have such a level of disrespect for your partner.
Like, Aussie did the rock thing, I think, a little bit because, like, that was kind of Aussie's...
An inside joke, too.
It was kind of an inside joke, and it was also kind of like, it meant something to Aussie to do that. Because of how Aussie related to, like, penguins and how Aussie expressed emotion. Like, it meant something. It sucked, but it meant something.
It sucked, but it was, like, not because Aussie didn't like Sam. The ring pop is, like,
a
fucking
joke. It's a slap in the face.
It's absolutely a slap in the face.
I got so mad at this.
It's confirming to Mel that Marie would marry her even if she just gave her a fucking ring pop.
Yeah, literally.
Clearly, it's not, like, it doesn't seem like it's a joke from their relationship. It's just disrespectful.
Literally, it doesn't seem like a bit that they, like, it's truly horrible. And then she says, I'm sure today, I could be unsure tomorrow.
That's crazy!
So she's
straight up saying, I can't commit to you.
She's doing the weakest possible proposal, where she's like, it's not a real ring, and she's like, I might change my mind. You still wanna? And
yeah, this is literally just a shut-up ring.
And Marie kind of laughs, and then Mel takes out a real ring. Thank God.
But Marie doesn't even get to eat her own fake
ring pop! We haven't even gotten to that. Oh my God, we haven't even gotten to that. So Mel gets out a real ring and gets down on one knee. Thank God. Just to save Marie, like, some face here.
Just to give her a real ass ring.
And then she says, answer quick. I'm going to throw myself in the lake. And then they kind of pop some champagne. Mel is drinking. Mel seems horrified that she did it. Instant regret. She's like, I can't believe I did it. And then we see Mel eating the ring pop. Marie doesn't even get the proposal ring pop. That literally was so embarrassing and rude. Marie doesn't even get her own... She doesn't even get to eat her own ring pop. And it's a sour one. So yeah, that was probably really good.
And
Mel
clearly,
eats it! I'm so mad.
Mel is this terrified because of her trauma with relationships and tumultuous relationships. Go to therapy and don't be in a relationship.
Oh my God.
And don't propose to her.
So
the fucking
mad.
Responsible thing for her to
so
do here.
Mad.
The thing that she would do is if she really loves Marie, say, Marie... I can't give you what you want. I can't be who you deserve.
Yeah.
We have to break up.
We have to take some space.
That would have been the responsible thing to do.
Yeah, exactly. And instead, she's going to do something way worse. So then we get a cute little montage of the happy couples that aren't broken up. So it's everybody but Ashley and Marina.
Which, well, I'll just say another AJ quote.
And that was the main thing I noticed. Yeah. AJ talks about how they're gonna have rich sex, drunk sex, fiance sex.
Yeah, awesome.
AJ's plan for her and Brittany, and I salute you, AJ.
Yeah,
AJ,
that's awesome,
you're gonna
AJ.
Do what AJ's gonna do.
AJ's gonna do it.
I hated this montage because
it was too much of the couples we don't like.
I don't like the way that like marriage was portrayed as a good thing for all of these couples, that it should be treated as a happy ending just because
it's marriage.
You get married. And again, as we said in the pod, we are pro marriage generally.
We think marriage is good, actually.
Some of these people have rebutted the presumption that they shouldn't be married. I do like Ashley and Brittany together. I like Haley and Pilar together.
Yeah.
And from what we've seen, I like Kyle and Bridget together.
Yeah, that's fine. Like, all, like, those three couples, you could present an argument for them getting married that I would believe. For AJ and Brittany, I would give that argument. For the others, you could present the argument to me, and I would say, great argument. It makes a lot of sense. But after seeing what we've seen this season from Dana and Megan and Mel and Marie, the pain that those people have caused each other and, like, have caused to other people.
It is not a good thing to see them getting married.
It's not. And I know the show knows this.
It shows that they have learned nothing. And also, the way that Ashley and Marita breaking up is portrayed as unambiguously sad when that was the best thing that they could do. That was the most responsible thing that they could have done.
Of course it's sad because, like, they love each other, but it was also, it was very clear as a viewer that they were never going to be happy together.
They may have loved each other, but, like, at this point, they didn't like each other.
They really hated each other. And I think a lot of this is just kind of the format of the show. They know how mad we are. They want to see that. That's, like, part of it for them.
That is.
That's part of the editing.
It's also, this is why, this is, like, the biggest problem with the show, is that it unabashedly encourages and refuses to examine beneath even a surface level toxic relationships.
Yeah, because
they make good TV. And why someone chooses to stay. They can make good TV, but you can also make good TV calling them out.
Like, yeah,
you can also make good TV portraying this as the tragedy which is, you know, you have one couple where someone is clearly very controlling, and it's a relationship that is governed by emotional instability and fights and just that emotional roller coaster of going from the highest highs to the lowest lows, and both of these people need to do serious work if they want to be in a relationship together. I'd say one of them more so, because there's just a fundamental problem with how she thinks it is okay to treat her partner. But I think both of them need to do work.
Yep.
Megan needs to do work on her self-esteem and learn how to stand up for herself. Ugh. And instead it's like, oh yeah, they're getting legally bound together forever, even though they really haven't fixed any of their problems, and only one person showed some growth, only to immediately regress once they were back with the more controlling partner. Dana showed no growth. Dana didn't learn anything from this except have another thing to hold over Megan's head. And then you have Marie and Mel, where you just have one partner who, I think, and you know what, maybe some of this is the edit, maybe Marie hasn't been the perfect partner all along. We don't see all 4 years of the relationship.
Yeah, we really don't.
Whatever. There's clearly a lot of history there. But based on what we see, there is one partner who has consistently shown up for the other partner and helped them through really traumatic times and a really traumatic upbringing, and has even helped them create a business. And then another partner who talks about how much they hate getting married, they don't want to get married, claims to have lied to her about a serious health condition, claims that Marie constantly is mistreating her and doesn't even understand her, and then reluctantly get married because she would rather pretend to be in love with this person then deal with the ramifications of a breakup. And somehow that's presented as equivalent to somebody in a partnership of 10 years finally overcoming the hurt by being rejected by her parents for her love. And like AJ and Brittany's story of like overcoming insecurity, and Kyle and Bridget's story of trying to and, you know, we make fun of Virgil a little bit for not knowing what marriage is, but it's also about defining marriage outside of heteronormativity.
Yeah, I think
that was a long speech.
Sorry. It was a lot. You had a lot to say. I think this is how we see the show
you know, grow as it's made. So, like, last season, we, you know, we have this whole show presented to us, and then the reunion reveals basically the secondary narrative that we didn't know was happening, which was that Mildred had been definitely off camera. It's possible that there's stuff we didn't see, had been domestically abusive to Tiff. So the show kind of didn't know how to navigate that. And I
think they navigated it very poorly.
Well, yeah, they did bad. But I think this season they're showing us a little bit more complexity from everybody. We're seeing a lot more fights. I think we're seeing a lot more messiness. And, you know, this was also like, this reunion we'll get into, it wasn't amazing. There wasn't a ton of challenging being done by the host. There wasn't a ton of challenging done being done by the production team about how these people, you know, treated each other. But I think this was a more wide-ranging edit. We saw a lot more. And yeah. So I'm very curious. I think I would say the show has been a pretty solid success for Netflix. And
It's its own spinoff. I think it was supposed to be a one-off season two of The Ultimatum. And then they've decided to do a consistent
series. I'm excited to keep watching, I think. I think production is growing, and I'm excited to see where they take this.
I am a little cynical because at the end of the day, it is still a Lachey show, and those shows are terrible, and they've really cast for just the worst possible people you could find.
But that's what we want.
But I think we also want...
If everybody was Ashley and Bridget, I'd be so bored.
Yeah, like, that's the point. I think the main thing is that it's the fact that these people are doing these things and then it's being treated as normal by the show, or even desirable, that what Megan and Dana went through is seen as something that would happen in a healthy relationship. As see, like, oh, it doesn't matter if you guys fight constantly because, you know, a lot of pressure can make a diamond. And it's like, no, that shows that you two shouldn't be together.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be fighting with your partner constantly. And I think that the only way for this show to truly go past that is if they really start pushing back on things, if they get some more mental health people, if they give them couples therapy in the original thing. And you know what? I know that it's a dating show, technically, whatever. Sometimes you have to learn when breaking up is a good thing.
Yeah.
It's not always a bad thing. Like, marriage isn't always a good thing.
Well, now we've seen the proposals.
So, who are you most happy with getting married, and who were you least happy to see propose?
I think the AJ and Brittany proposal was the best one. It was so sweet. I was so happy for them. I cried. They put it up top so that I would be happy and keep watching, and it worked. I loved it. I loved their arc. I loved seeing, you know, both of them kind of grow into themselves and into each other. Loved it, loved it, loved it. I would think the worst proposal for me was the Mel and Marie proposal because of the ring pop. I think that was so, so terrible. Like, at least Dana got Megan a ring as well.
Yeah. And I would 100% agree. AJ and Brittany, I love them on the show. I think their proposal felt very sweet and genuine. Also,
so cute.
Shout out to Haley and Pilar.
Yeah, that was really nice.
That
and
was
Dave.
Really nice. It was really sweet that they, you know, FaceTime Dave. And you can kind of tell that Pilar has basically already been a part of Haley's family for quite a long time. And again, yeah, I agreed with you. Mel and Marie, that was horrific to see. The grout fit didn't help.
The grout fit really didn't help either.
The grout fit didn't help, but... really horrifying to see Mel basically give Marie a shut up ring.
Yep.
And while I hate Megan and Dana together, I can at least say that Dana found some nice things to say about Megan. And
Dana
did get her
was
a
at
ring.
Least sure.
Dana, whatever her faults, Dana definitely wants to marry Megan.
So there's that.
So there's that. Anyways. We are done with the narrative episodes of the show.
But don't worry.
We will be covering the reunion.
Y'all are gonna get the reunion for sure, because I got some stuff to say about it.
We have many thoughts.
Wow.
All right, bye!
We love you, bye!
We love you!